November 27, 2023, it's the Watt from Pedro show.
Big Maybell was in this band, you know, Big Maybell.
Yeah.
This was, I don't know what the heck it was, rhythm and blues or everything. I don't know what that meant. Anyway, that band and King Kolax, you heard Kolax, eh? And Eddie Benson. Dizzy, Earl Bostic, Gay Cross, he's from Cleveland. He had a little band, he used to be with Lil Jordan one time in his band. He had a little band that was patterned after Lil's thing. He sang and played something like Lil. And, Daisy Me and the Hep Cats. Johnny Hodges.
You did work with Hodges?
Yeah.
When was this?
In 1953.
For how long?
Seven months, I think.
Really? Who else was in the band?
Well, we had Richard Powell on piano. And Lawrence Brown. Emmett Berry. Edward Trubby, of course. And a guy named Jimmy Johnson on drums. And bass player, I forgot his name.
That surprised me. I had no idea that you'd ever worked with Hodges.
Yeah? Sure, man.
I mean, that was a real gas for you, wasn't it?
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, they had some true music, you know. Yeah. Lawrence Brown, I like him immensely.
How'd you feel? No, you have never.
Great trombonist, you know?
Oh, MPG, not
MPG. Emmett Berry, he impressed me too. Johnny Hodges, I feel like him. And Earl Bostic is kind of tremendous too. I didn't appreciate guys men like Earl, and after I heard Charlie Parker, you know, because Charlie, you know, he swayed me so much, you know. But after I come out from under it a little bit, you know, after I'd been under it a little bit, under his spell, then I could kind of listen to other people too. And when I played with these men, like, I found I learned a lot from them.
Watt from Pedro show. Happy Monday. Started off John Coltrane talking to August Bloom, June 15, 1958, about people he played for when he was younger. And we had Sharky Face with Pan and Echo. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with me via Skype, Angela Edwards. Welcome aboard, Angie.
Hi.
And where are you talking to me from?
Oakland, California, West Oakland.
Yeah, Oaktown, East Bay. Okay. And we, right away, we got to give respect and gratefulness to Leslie for the connect.
Yeah, my girl.
Yeah, absolute. Much respect. She's pioneer with the wild music, too. I love it. Love it.
She's an angel.
Yeah, inspiration. And you're getting over sickness, but you're all fine and well. I want to find out about your musical journey. Please, Angela, bring your earliest musical recollection, please.
Well, my family played music in church, so it would be on some country gospel, Pentecostal, old-time religion shit.
That's your memory. Now, was the pad you grew up in musical instruments, or was it just church, like the piano or something?
Well, I'm talking first, like, little. Like, they would make me sing.
Sure, the voice is an instrument.
Yeah, but, yeah, but, you know, I'm not the best singer. And I wanted to play drums. Like, I had a cousin that played drums, my cousin that played guitar, and my aunt played organ. But my dad wasn't wild about the idea, and by the time I was old enough to really do it, I was not interested in church anymore. You couldn't drag me to church.
And was there a piano? Did you have to go through that? The piano lesson adventure?
No. Nobody was really that interested. It was like, church was like my aunts and cousins and stuff, but neither of my parents really promoted music, but I played in band. And
well, yeah, let me ask you about school, the marching band, the choir, shit like that.
Oh yeah, I played cornet. I was in symphonic band and marching band.
Okay.
I quit in high school, but I mean I quit high school, so if I'd been in high school I probably would have played.
Cornet's kind of like a trumpet, people.
Yeah, a little bit littler because I have little hands,
smaller hands, but
I have a trumpet now.
Oh, is that right? So you came back to it.
I did, but I mean, it's bigger, so.
And so when you left school, you left the cornet until you came back, yeah, to trumpet.
No, I didn't really leave it. I.
Oh, okay.
I lost the practice one that I had, but I had an old junky one, and I would blast on it, and I've always, like, ran it through effects and just acted stupid with it.
You know who did trumpets through effects? Was Cozy in Throb and Gristle.
Yeah. Now that I'm, you know, a more classy individual, she's an inspiration. I also like John Hassell.
Oh, yeah. We just lost him, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to play some of his music. What a fucking trip that you guessed that. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to play his Blue Nile.
Oh, nice.
Because a buddy of mine was really a good friend of his, and it was really sad. I mean, he was an older man, but it's still hard to lose people.
It is.
And the next chunk of music, we're going to listen to some John Castle. Wow, what a trip. Music is such a fabric between us humans that's bitching and righteous. I love it. Let me ask you this. What was the first record you bought with your own money? Please, Angie.
Does Columbia House count? Like, you know.
I was part of that. Were you given a dime and they send you a bunch?
Oh, yeah. But when I was little, because I've always been into different music, but, I mean, I had a wide taste in, as a kid, we're talking a kid, I was like New Edition and Al Green. A lot of times I would, like, get the music that my parents were into. I liked a lot of old country, like Dolly Parton and Loretta Lynn and Merle Haggard, but if you mean like with my own full.
Because, you know, when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money. So I asked this question because, you know, what are you going to buy when you finally get some money?
My friends and I would make each other tapes and off the radio and stuff. But I think the first record I bought was probably on my own was probably Skinny Puppy.
Oh, I remember that. I think maybe Canadian guys.
Yeah, they are Canadian.
And kind of abstract music, pretty intense.
Mm-hmm, a lot of samples.
Right. So that's your first record. And what was the first gig you saw?
Well, my cousins and I got to go to our moms would just drop us off. They were like single mom bartenders. They would drop us off at Astroworld and we'd just run around all day. So there'd be concerts at Astroworld, and I saw some pretty corny stuff that just happened to be happening when I was right there, like John Schneider from, things like that. But my own first concert that I went to was NXS to see NXS and PIL, but I was going because of PIL. And a friend's mom took us, and we dressed all up, and it was really cute.
What did you dress up as?
Well, more excessively punk. Than, very Sex Pistols inspired, but not what I would normally wear on a day-to-day basis because I'm not really very fashionable. And I wasn't back then, but for that show, I got all dressed up like a poser.
She went through some trips. I saw the first tour with Job Wobble. They had Martin Atkins on drums.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was wearing a bunch of stuff to protect the singer, Johnny Rotten, from people spitting on him. So you had this like World War I flying helmet with goggles and shit. Yeah, it was at the Olympic. Plugs That's opened up. Let me ask you this. Not graduating high school, but in the afternoon when school's out, did you get into the garage band, basement band, bedroom band, basement band stuff?
I was a latchkey apartment kid and... No, we had forts in the woods and friends had half pipes in their yard and it was more hanging out and listening to music.
Yeah, I'm thinking cornet. There's a period in the 90s with ska bands, so those guys got to be in bands.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There was a little period where the brass section at schools could be in rock and roll bands because of the ska thing.
I sort of hid that stuff for a while whenever... Yep. I didn't bust out my. As a matter of fact, my last little bit in school, I would put my cornet in a different bag, riding the bus and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I was kind of a little bit
self-conscious.
I was shy about it. I wanted to be not doing that, but I also wanted to play, and I really liked it, so it was cognitive.
But then when school was over, you stopped playing. Well, you said you kind of still. Well, how did you get into this experimental more? Because probably the program at school with the cornet wasn't too experimental.
No, not at all. I was working and, running amok, a little degenerate from 15 on. And then I decided I needed to get the hell out of Houston. So I took my GED and I went to junior college, Blinn, near College Station. It's because I had a boyfriend in grad school who was studying math and was going to be an actuary. Blah, blah, but that town wasn't for me. I was, going to
Texas A&M, right? College Station.
Yeah, College Station.
Kind of squared you on ROTC school.
It was rough, man. But,
Played, there's a little town next to it, right? What, Blaine or Bup?
Blinn,
yeah. And I played there once, yeah. It's we call those character builders.
Exactly. But I was written off to Austin from, I was going to Blinn College, and as soon as I did one semester when I was done with junior college, one semester at A&M, and it was, just super weird. Even having a nose ring was just I don't ever want to go back there. But
kind of like how high school did end, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to explain to people about that, how some college life ain't, it's kind of an extension of a high school. And mm-hmm. I could see people wanting to run away like crazy from that shit.
Yeah, it was just like high school, and I did run away. I got to Austin as fast as I could, and I was working at the college radio station there, and Sound Exchange was right across the street from RIP. It's gone, but right across the street from University of Texas in Austin.
Right.
The radio station was on the street that ran alongside it, the KVRX was the original location. But I really got into college radio, and I was doing a local show, and a lot of the more underground bands is what I liked out there. And they could be pretty weird, you know, and so was sort of a jumping off point. Because he's Butthole Surfers, and sure. I already was into Skinny Puppy, and I just started finding, I would go to the experimental.
Did you know about Big Boys and Dicks?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yes. I love one of my favorites.
Their first, both those bands, their first Hollywood gig was with the Minutemen.
Cool.
Did something here with your sharky face called Hour of the Wolf. I want to play. Thank you.
I'm gonna make you mine.
Watch for Pedro show that chunky music start off with Sharky Face doing Out of the Wolf. Then we had John Castle, like I promised you. Blues Nile. Important S there. Daniel Bachman after that, Till the Roses Come Home. Ron Coates with Carbon Breeze, brand new out of Brighton, England. Musique Infinite, that's brand new too. Broken Mind Circuit. And then Sharky Face. With Melancholetta?
Melancholetta, yeah.
Melancholetta.
It's like a
corny
play on melancholy, I think.
Kind of a sad, kind of a sad tune. So, okay, so you got this show. You gravitate to the radio station. You got your own show. And I know how called, by that time, college radio, every show, it's its own, there's no, like, a playlist or shit. Every program, every person with the show is their own program director, right?
Right.
Yeah, I love that idea. So you had kind of the taste and the aesthetics of the person running the show kind of went how the show went, kind of guided how the show went. And so your experiences with Public Image and Skinny Puppy. So, but you, when do you want to start getting in on the creating part?
Well, my show was a local show, so I was like, it was more of the underground, weirder
people
band.
People play in Austin, yeah.
Yeah, and my friends that I made through that, I was also the fundraising director, so I booked all the benefits.
Okay.
And I had a live show. Like, I did the local show on Friday early in the night, like 7 and 9, and then I had a live show on the weekends where I'd get bands to come in and I always pick weirder ones, and they just became, like, my chosen family, like, more weird bands and, you know, boyfriends and buying weird records and shit. And so I got into noise and, well, I was in a hardcore band with one guy called Suck Ass Mule that was just pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, you didn't give me any music from Suck Ass Mule.
It really doesn't exist. There's like some tapes somewhere, but he was actually on your show, Tyler from Brown Hornet.
Oh, sure. Tyler. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, was that your actually first gigs that you did with Suck Ass Mule?
No, we actually, yes. We did one. We did one show, and then later on he and I started playing in a noise.
Tell me about that first gig. Well, it wasn't first. It was the only gig.
It was the only one. I think it was at Stubbs Barbecue.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And
I played that many times.
Mm-hmm, the drummer for this band, Zulu's Kono, no, he wasn't the drummer. He was a guitarist. Tyler actually played drums. It was a trio, and we did one show opening for, I don't even remember who.
And what'd you play? Did you sing?
I screamed, yeah. Okay. I sang. Yeah, we had some sound, you know, Sandpaper Tampon.
Yeah.
We really are a good band. At the time, I had one called $40 Haircut, and now I get haircuts that are way, I was making fun of people getting $40 haircuts.
So. Yeah. My sister cuts my hair for free.
Oh, cool.
Get this. When I came here from Virginia to Pedro, my papa's a sailor, and the army base here, even though he's a sailor, there was an army base here in Peterborough. The haircuts were 10 cents.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Well, this isn't like late 60s, but yeah, talk about it. And they were all Italian guys, speaking Italian, foo-foo in your hair and that kind of shit.
Nice. I thought they did a good job.
So why did this band only last one gig?
There was beef between the
principals.
The guy who played guitar was pretty, yeah, that was just beef. Not with me, but those two were in another project together. And that guy kind of lost his mind. Not Tyler, but the other dude.
Right.
And we just started doing, I was really more into noise at the time, really.
And what, they were getting too musical?
And it wasn't very musical. They were just not getting along. So we just took it as the two of us and made noise.
No, I've had people on the show before talk about this, you know, descriptor, noise.
Mm-hmm.
I think John Cage said noises could be Mozart if you're trying to talk to somebody and the shit's getting in the way.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's pretty relative. The context is pretty important. So, what did you consider this band not noisy enough?
It was pretty noisy, but I wanted to do...
The big problem was the lack of interaction between two of the principals, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you can't fix that. I found that out. You can practice if people... But if there's personality problems, they ain't going to get fixed. Yeah, practice won't help that.
The one guy went a little, I mean, actually, like, mental health issues.
Yeah, so, yeah. And you get know, to get close and personal in a band situation with that kind of stuff. So what was next for music? Because on the other side, you're the one enabling music by putting people on your show. But this other part is you developing your own kind of persona, right? Expression.
Yeah.
So and what is the Sharky face? Is that way down the road?
Not too far down the road, because I was booking bands. The fundraising
right,
was like a jump
the
off.
Right, the benefits and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and I had Daniel Johnson on my show, and I actually booked and took Dan on his first little tour. I mean, I know he played in New York and had incidences with, like, Sonic Youth and jumping out the window.
Oh, yeah.
And all that. But we actually took him to, we had two bands, and one it was just me and Dan, and the other was the band that had gotten together for him. And Brown Hornet, and we went to, like, you know, on, like, little five-show gigs. And I took him on a longer tour. But anyway, from that, my noise project just got to play show. Like, I went to Japan with 3 Day Stubble. And
I remember 3 Day Stubble. Tom Bowles played with those guys for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, they used to wear fucking McDonald's shit. Because like, when I first met Daniel Johnson, he was wearing McDonald's hat and shit. I guess he worked there. And in fact, it was opening up for Butthole Surfers when Firehose first started. In fact, Gibby, for the gig on the poster, Sonic Youth was involved too. It was, he put Sonic Buttfire on the poster.
I love it.
And Daniel talked to me about the Beatles for like 2 hours, and he gave me this cassette and had a song on there called Walking the Cow that I covered. I kept his words, the chords, but I kind of changed the rhythm.
That's a beautiful
But I got to play with him a couple of months before he passed away. So, yeah, his brother took him on a tour. He wasn't talking. He didn't even remember me.
Mm.
But I did get to play with him a little bit there at the end. And very tragic in some ways. But tell me about your noise thing. So it comes out of this band? Sharky Face comes out of this band?
Sharky Face came out of that. I actually moved to, I think my... I started playing out here solo because I was still Tarantism. Like, I had Wolf Eyes played in my house, and like Caroliner came through and
Grux.
Grux. Yeah.
And the Michigan guys, the Wolf Eyes, yeah. They just did a great collab with the Model Home people. You know what? Scotty, I found out Scotty, the drummer of the Stooges, was one of those cats' godfather.
Oh, I believe it, man. They're like, they're cool.
Everything's fucking connected. Mm-hmm. It's a trip.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so these guys are playing your house and stuff, but you end up in California.
I end up in California playing out here in different projects. I sent you one of them, Pigs in the Ground.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's towards the end there, yeah.
Yeah, and...
Next out.
I.
So you must have lost your radio show then at the school.
I kept it until like I left and quit. I actually ended up quitting. I had a foot injury and a lot of the buildings weren't accessible and it pissed me off. So I just kind of dropped out and, you know, was focusing on booking bands. And then through that, and playing, like I said, Tarantism went to Japan with 3 Days Double. And shortly after that, I moved to San Francisco. I was super involved in the costume, you know, the whole brutal aesthetic.
Right, that's what Grex calls it, costume noise scene.
Yeah, was really into that. And then I had a radio show at a pirate radio station, and it was called Crouching with Sharky Face, and that wasn't my nickname or anything. It was just something I said when I was, like, in a really bitchy mood, you know, when I was feeling...
Like you had a sharky face.
Yeah, a sharky face.
Okay, so the persona actually predates the music.
It does. That was my email address, was sharky face for like radio shit, and I was playing, you know, in duos and trios and other bands that I'm not allowed to say that I was in.
Sorry.
But yeah, secret ones. But
I know Grex is part of a lot of those little bitch fights and shit.
Oh yeah, Grex and I haven't spoken in many a year.
I never know who to talk to about him because I don't know how they stand with him.
You can talk to him about. I mean, I'm very grateful for him.
You say the wrong name, all of a sudden, man, it's like dropping a quarter in the fucking go off machine.
Look,
we're going to have to postpone this for just a little bit because we're at the end of the first hour of November 27, 2023. This WAPito, so special guest, Angela Edwards. Hold tight, Angie Edwards. Hold tight for hour two. November 27, 2023. It's the second hour of WAP from Pedro Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watford Pedro Show, start of the second hour. Jeweled Snakes, Light as a Feather is the title. Then we had the Flower Corsano Duo. Chris Corsano's coming out. He's going to do a gig in Joshua Tree and wants to record with Joe Biza and myself. So,
when's that? I want to.
It's coming up in December. December 16 is his gig at the Yucca Valley Media Place where I was with Derek Moneypenny last week.
Oh, shit.
And then he's going to come to Pedro and record. He's going to. Harote, a friend of Derek's, is going to record us, and then we're going to do a gig here in Pedro and then record it at the Sardine. And then Winter Kills, Jeweled Snakes. So,
that's a Yes cover.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So in the timeline of things, Jeweled Snakes is down the road from Sharky Face.
Yeah, Jeweled Snakes. Sharky Face actually came about because this guy, Glamorous Pat, asked. He was playing at Terminal, an underground venue out here. It's been around for years. And he wanted to play with me. And I got put on the flyer solo. And I had never played solo, but I was like, okay, fuck it. I'll do it. I had found a Tom Nunn instrument on the street, actually. Tom Nunn bug. It's another amazing. Yeah. So I just played that, and that's how it came to be.
And that's the first Sharky Face gig.
Yeah.
Okay, and would you call it a success?
Yeah, absolutely. I felt like I could do me more, not, you know, spastic stuff with, because all my other projects were with, you know.
Ensemble.
Exes, yeah, mostly exes.
Oh, and then, yeah, involved with them, too. Man, yeah, that's kind of a messy, right? Yeah.
It did. It got messy.
Yeah.
A lot of messes.
Usually my band situations ain't like that, but I can relate though. And so it's kind of liberating being in an autonomous mode like Sharky Fish, where you're the shot caller.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And once you got a gig under your belt, did you think about making recordings?
No, I have issues with like anxiety and like being seen. Like doing the expression of it, like that stuff that you have, Melancholetta and Pan and Echo, which is about the myth, not actually the effects of Pan and Echo, even though there's a lot of that in there. I didn't even realize it. It's about the, you know, the myth of Pan and Echo, the nymph. But anyway, that whole album was like based on my mom's birth date.
You're talking about Pan and Echo, the Greek gods?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's also effects used in mixing music, right?
I know, and it's like a lot of pan and echo in that, and I didn't even. I use a lot of panning and echoing, and people just assume that that's.
Let's hit the listeners that panning people is like left to right, and echo is kind of like, you know, recalling the sound again and again, and they actually come out. Yeah, Pan was this guy that had half goat body, and he played little flutes. And then Echo was a cat who kind of got into himself a little too much.
No, that's Narcissus.
Narcissus, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. I'm sorry.
Echo is actually a curse. Like,
That's right.
She loved Narcissus. I mean, yeah, he was.
Yeah, she did love Narcissus. But Narcissus had no room for her because it's all about him. Right? He ends up drowning because he falls. He's into his face so much he falls into the water, right?
Yeah, he drowns in his damn self.
Yeah. His own fucking self. Ain't that, that's what the metaphor for people.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but it just turned out like it was convenient. Yeah, see, titles are really great that way. So, like, you don't want to capture, you wanted Sharky Face just to be a gig sensation.
I just have, you know, I was just kind of, like, shy about it, and then, actually, Leslie,
Leslie
started.
Key for people.
Yeah, I love her so much.
Yeah.
She came out of, like, being 12 years, you know, just dealing with her trauma herself, her, you know, her chronic illnesses and stuff, and she started doing records, and she hooked me up with Arvo from No Part of It, and the two of them kind of just, the combination was right, and, you know, because my stuff's all kind of heavy, my solo stuff.
Uh-huh.
And, I finally was just like, fuck it. And I sort of, you know, I was surprised that it it did better than any other, like Jewel Snakes. I love that band, but nobody really.
Well, tell me about Jewel Snake, because we got some more right here. This doesn't drown the witches. Don't drown the witches.
Don't drown the witches, yeah. It's a duo with me and Scott Lim from Phantom Limbs. They were down there. They were from down there. And it's just two of us. We're not sequenced at all. It's like running sound for a band, each of us, you know, mixer with a bass and a lead keyboard and a sampler and a drum machine. And we just have to start it, all our shit, and stop it between songs. It's crazy. There's a lot of adjusting and a lot of, but I love that band. It's fun. It's a party band.
Okay, let's listen.
lay old Bobby down the way. Oh, he never had a word to say. Oh, he moved just like a bunny head and tree. Oh, he gone, gone just like your echoes did. And now Bobby hides off in the sky, winking at me with that one crowley eye. And oh my Bobby, I wish it I knew. But you're good, you don't leave a clue. And one day I heard that he was dead. And I never believed it when they said, oh, they said, Bobby, leave us dead. Here you are, you're back. That he was dead. I never believed it when they said. Yeah.
Watch for Pedro Show. That show of music start off with Jewel Snakes doing Don't Drown the Witches. Then the Bobby Lees with Bobby Lee. Street Sex with our lesions. Not lessons, people. Lesions. A little difference. Ray Shin.
Lessons on lesions.
Yeah, a little bit. Triangle Messenger. And finally, what you were referring to before, Pigs in the Ground. Tongues off fire. And who was it, Pigs in the Ground?
That's me and this guy, Loach Filet. It's his solo noise name. He was also involved in that whole costume noise, brutal sound effects.
The Carolina days and stuff.
Yeah.
But that stuff is before Jewel Snakes.
That stuff is before Jewel Snakes or Pigs in the Ground, yeah. Okay. It's around the same time. It's actually, he and I, Bobby, Loach Filet and I, had this, our separate duo. We actually did a lot of weird shit together, a band called Diatric Puds, and it was like a monster doo-wop band. And
monster doo-wop.
Yeah, it was.
That's a genre name.
it was weird. But Pigs in the Ground is us, and we actually got some good shows and played, like, Color at a Space Fest and little tours. We played with Leslie. We went on tour with Leslie. And
how would you say Jewel Snakes was different from Pigs in the Ground?
Well,
two different guys, right? Collaborators.
Yeah. Two different collaborators. It's different in, you know, with Jewel Snakes, we actually have songs, and it's more, like, of a party. And Pigs in the Ground was just intense. Mostly improvisational, harsh, dark noise.
You know, I'm curious about improvised music. Who decides who goes first, in your case?
Sometimes you say right before, like, I play with, I'm going to play some shows this weekend with my love, Sandy Sleeper from Demon Sleeper, and we'll just say, like, you start, or I start, or I'm going to start with this, or I have an idea to start, and then you just play off of each other.
Okay, and like something like Jewel Snakes, you worked out composition, so you don't, there's none of that involved.
Yeah, that's all songs. Yeah. It's all chaos songs, not sequenced electronic music with a bunch of different, you know, we both have two synths and a drum machine and samplers, and we're just like.
You said bass in that other band. Do you play bass guitar?
Bass, I play bass, like, I have a bass station, like a bass synth.
Like the left hand, like the left hand on a keyboard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those things can be fat, I tell you. They can be fat. And a very legato. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, March 27, 2023. This is Wapito, so special guest, Angie Edwards. Hold tight, hour three! November 27, 2023. It's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro show. Start off the third hour, Sharky Face and Jay Korber doing blood transfusion. Then we had Anti-Industry, right, talking about Leslie Keffer. Mm-hmm. Numinous Interference. And finally, Sharky Face, Woman Alone, though. She'll be bringing down the mountain. Okay, Angie, hip us to this collab with Jay Korber, Sharky Face.
Yeah, man. So Jay and I, another ex-boyfriend, Uncle Jay, we call him now because he's like my, he was my doggy baby daddy, and he still takes care of my dogs when, like, I go out of town and stuff, but he's now Uncle Jay. So I don't know why I told that story, but.
No, look, me and Kay, much better friends now than when we were married. That happens.
Yeah.
Some people think it's got to be all nuclear war and this. No. Things change.
No.
And sometimes it gets better.
It is definitely better. But he had a really bad accident while we were dating. Like, really, really, really bad. That's where the title blood transfusion came from. He was run over by a street sweeper that turned into him when he was on his bicycle and drug him underneath. And he nearly died. And they couldn't get enough blood in his body. And when he was in the hospital, we got him an iPad, and he was recording a lot of intense sounds, and I just collaborated with his recordings and then played recordings of him playing drums underneath and stuff, because Grandpa's and I went on a tour, like, shortly after while he was still recovering, and that was something that came out. I just used a lot of samples of him.
From the experience.
Yeah.
Wow. Talk about documenting.
That shit was intense.
But you know what? Not just document, but like kind of using it as, I don't know, ammunition or material. You know, when I had this sickness that almost killed me, I got an opera out of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, you got to make, you know, something positive out of such a negative fucking pile of shit. Yeah. That's
my solo, the first Sharky Face, and I haven't, I'm working on another one right now.
Yeah.
But my first album on No Part of It, Climax in a Process, which is a reference to the full moon. People are like assuming that it's a, you know, woman climax, they're like, ooh, you know, but no, it's like the full moon. It's
between the waning and waxing, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's the climax in the process. Sure. And that, like, talking about using stuff.
Well, you know what? Angie, I think because we got so much artificial light. In the older days, the moon used to be so important to us. And stars, too, because it was a lot brighter sky.
Exactly.
I think with the artificial light, it's different days.
And we still fill the pool. We're still filling it. We can't see.
That's right. That's right.
Moon's full right now.
Yeah. And in the old days, that would have been a big deal, right? You would know about that time of the month, everything. Nowadays, we hardly know it because all the street lights and all the other shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but that, you know, I think artists are kind of sensitive to stuff like that, though. Even with all the distraction kind of thing. Look, here's another Sharky Face Alone. Long disengagement.
Yeah. That's an old one.
Yeah.
That was an old one.
Well, give us some insight.
That's something I used to record a lot, and I would, you know, even though I didn't put out, I have a lot of stuff on compilations, and I just didn't, or split sides of a cassette or something like that. But this was just something I recorded years ago in, you know, like 2005 or something, and I didn't really finish it or do anything with it until much, much later. And it was like part of a 11-year relationship I had when I was doing that. So that's why I called it a long disengagement, because I just sort of put
it in a lot of ways, it was a long disengagement. Okay, let's listen.
Thank you.
Wofford Pedro Show Last Music for this edition. That chunk started off with Sharky Face doing a long disengagement. Then we had Model Home of Wolf Eyes. Here's that collab I was telling you about.
Yeah.
Staircase Version. And finally, Sharky Face with Celebration Jet. So, well, hip us to Celebration Jet.
It's actually, people say that it's Cerebration.
Oh, yeah, Cerebration. What? It's like, I'm making it up letters. Sorry.
Everyone does it. It's like fast thinking is basically what I was saying. That's all on
Or the Asian thing where the R's and L's get lost.
Vogue 3P at Mills College, that whole thing.
Oh!
That.
You got some time. You know, Brother Ted from Flipper told me he did Mills College. They almost closed that place.
They did close it. It was bought. It's a MIT college now.
Oh, okay.
They sold it to Northwestern, and it's like not. It's the music department, the famous, world famous music department, which started as a tape music center and
sure.
counterculture shit.
Modular synths, all that kind of. That's all gone.
Oh, yep.
Fuck.
It's all gone. But I get to touch some amazing synths that otherwise, you know, I might not ever even be around.
How long were you there?
I actually went, I finished my BA that I, you know, I quit UT. I went back and got my BA in music there, and then I went to grad school, so 4 years.
Whoa.
It took me 4 semesters to finish my BA, even though I was in college for 7 years before that.
That's so, all right.
Yeah.
Orson Welles said they're going to sell no wine before it's time.
There you go. So, yeah, 4 years
in Mills. Takes. And you said you're working on something right now, because I want to know what's next up for Sharky Face, what's up next for Jewel Snakes. Is there anything ever with Pigs in the Ground again, or has that run its course?
That has run its course. Bobby does a cumbia band with Brampaws, who's been on your show before, too.
Whoa.
And okay. He's got a lot going on. He's my neighbor. Like, he lives, you know, out back another great ending, the happy ending, but no Pigs in the Ground, but Jilt Snakes, we're working on an album right now.
Okay.
And I have a solo thing coming out on Ratskin Records.
And is this solo thing called Sharky Face, or is it called Angie?
It's Angie. Sharky Face. I'm okay. Always Sharky Face solo, as for now. But yeah, I'm excited about that. That should be out in the summer.
And how has it developed since that first, you know, it wasn't even planned, right? You just stumbled into it.
Yeah, it wasn't planned. Someone put me on a flyer as right. Sharky Face, as my email name. I didn't even get to choose what I played as. But then for so long, you know, people call you that when it's your email name or your handle on Yahoo groups and shit. So it just sort of stuck. Like, people would just call me Sharky.
What about the 2023 evolution? How is it different than that early Yahoo Sharky Face?
It's more thoughtful. You know, I usually do things with intent now, and like, from, we're talking about processing. There's a lot of trauma processing or just dealing with neurodivergence when I play a solo, as opposed to, like, Pigs in the Ground, or not Pigs in the Ground, Jeweled Snakes is more of a, I've got a lot of animals in my names. Jeweled Snakes is, like, it's a party band, you know, it's like songs. And
but it's songs.
Stuff, so, yeah, it's
because some people think improvisation is a party, and songs are two disciplines.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. Anything can be a party, people.
I party with improvisation. I'm playing with Demon Face. It's a combination of Demon Sleeper, Sandy, who's in La Sucias, amazing band. It's her solo thing is Demon Sleeper, and then we combine Demon Sleeper, Sharky Face, and it's improvisation, but it's going to be a party.
Demon Face,
We'll be near you.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be in L.A. this weekend.
This weekend? Where?
Yeah. At Coaxial on Friday night, we're playing with Joseph Hammer.
Where was Coaxial?
Coaxial is
downtown?
On South Main Street. Yeah,
Main Street by the mayor's office.
I think it's a fashion district. Hold on, I can tell you right now. I have the. I'll tell you the address in a minute, but you know, the LA
fashion district. So like 8th and Broadway.
It's hold on, I'll find it for you.
I saw it at the Odeon Theater.
Playing with
you know, in the old days, there was never any gigs down there. That used to be such heavy neighborhood. It trips me out how there's shows there now.
Yeah, 1815 South Main Street.
Okay, 18. So that's like 18th Street in Maine. That's way south.
1815, yeah.
Yeah,
so Swinging Chandeliers.
But that used to be like, there was never gigs. You know, they're trying to reinvent downtown Los Angeles. That's trippy. But you're coming down here to go play there. Okay, coaxial. And what is it, Sharky Face gig?
No, it's Demon Face. It's me.
Ah,
and,
Demon Face, that's right.
Demon Face, yeah.
Collab. And what about recording with them? Do you got recording plans with Demon, the Demon Face collab?
We went on tour. We played End Times Fest last spring and played some shows. We have some recordings from that, but we should sit down and record something.
Well,
but
you know, if you do, it would be righteous to have you both come on the show.
Oh, really?
That'd yeah, what about a yeah. Demon Face appearance on the Watt from Pedro show?
We'd love it.
Okay. The invite is out. When we go off, I'll write you an email about it. We'll set it up for January or February. But the other stuff, too, when you come out with the new Sharky Face, when you come out with these jeweled snakes, please bring it to Watt and come on the show. Let's talk about it, play from it. I love what you're doing, man. It's very inspiring, very righteous, you know. Even a guy on an old-fashioned bass guitar can get lit by that. So thank you so much, Angie. People, it's been the November 27, 2023 edition of Watt Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.